This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for the Falcons Report.
Whoa, whoa. KC got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and will score. Sacked. Brady Jarrett got another one. You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
Go get our Hey Man Ale if you've not had a chance to try it. If you have, go get some more. It's always good for these playoff games coming up this weekend. You can never go wrong, guys. And we've got our strong arm story of the day coming up in less than 20 minutes.
And by the way, a couple guys hit us up. One dude said he's about to celebrate a very special birthday, his 21st, and he's looking for some brew.
Hey.
And so I said, may your first legal beer be a man. So we put up the list at Mike Bell ATL. Carlos, put them up, see Dukes. We got a new and improved list of all the retailers, and there's literally like 50 or so all around town. You know, for supermarkets and your favorite package stores, go get our beer, Dukes and Bell Hey Man Ale.
Is there a problem? Where did you guys say? Austell? They've had it in Austell. I know that for a fact. They must be sold out. And where are you at, Bo? Woodstock?
Yeah, man. I went to the new Town Lake Woodstock Kroger, and I said, I'm going to see if they have some Hey Man. The fridge is getting empty.
Yeah.
No Hey Man.
Okay. Oh, you better get on that.
We'll have to make a phone call.
Bo has moved in. Now, Bo is OTP. By the way, real quick, had great time OTP on Saturday.
Yes, for 16 hours.
AC/DC cover band. I was at a bar, Route 67, whatever the hell it's called. You know what's really funny, though? It's a cover band. It's a tribute band. So the dude who was playing guitar, and he was really good, man. He was really working. Like Angus had the shorts on, had the schoolboy outfit like Angus Young. He looked just like Dabo Sweeney. Pictures up at Mike Bell ATL. If you go back a few, you'll find the tweet. But, yeah, man. And I actually was outside the perimeter, and I made it out okay.
Well, it's amazing. You left inside the perimeter.
Mm-hmm.
You went outside the perimeter, and you made it home safely.
Well, I spent the night at
this is amazing.
My Florida State buddy's house.
This is a revelation.
Yeah.
You can actually go OTP and get back
now again,
safely.
If we can find accommodations, I'm thinking about a trip to Roswell at some point maybe this summer. That Thursday night thing seems like a good time.
It's great, man. Night out, Roswell is unbelievable.
You know what? We might do make it. And by the way, last thing before we get to the Falcons, ran into a dude the other day coming back from Florida at the airport. I'm going to give a shout out to Jeff, who works for Delta, lives on the South Side. And he says, when are you guys coming to the South Side? And I know this is now a mission for us. We will try
South
to get a show
Side.
Somewhere. So if you got a sports bar and, you know, we spend a little money, we'll get down there, Carl, and we'll get our salespeople to put it together. But we need to do a show somewhere down there, whether it's off of Terra Boulevard or Peachtree City or you name it, man. McDonald, we'll get down there.
Yeah, listen, it doesn't matter to me. As a matter of fact, maybe when the weather gets a little warmer and we get into spring, Mike, we just do a pop-up party. Hell, we just show up.
Right on.
We got Hey Man L. We got other booze.
Right.
And we just hang out. And you come, you guys, we just tell you that day and you guys come hang.
Craig will sell some of the CDs out of the back of the Caprice.
I mean, we'll do it old school style. You know what I'm saying?
Right on.
We'll have the t-shirts, bootleg style, the whole nine. Okay? So we're coming.
We'll move some TVs. What? Hey, man, it's going to be a lot of fun.
We're coming Southside. Hey, with that, man, let's get into our Falcon Report. Brought to you by our friends at Domino's, as always.
Domino's, guys, right now a great deal on a pan pizza. 3 topping medium, just $7.99. There's a bunch of great deals when you go to Domino's.com and carry out.
Can you imagine? Dude be like, man, I saw Dukes and Bell selling t-shirts out their trunk.
Well, I do have the prototypes on the Hey Now shirts.
I couldn't believe it. I rolled up. I was like, damn, that's the black dude and the white dude I listen to on the radio.
Hey, before we get to the Falcons, let me throw some numbers at you. The nerds at Pro Football Focus, Carl, have computed where we stand right now in conference championship weekend. Who's got the odds to win it all, not just get to Atlanta?
All right, who's got the best odds?
Despite the injury to Sheldon Rankins, we've talked about, and to one of their guards, New Orleans Saints at 38.5%
surprise
lead all the Final Four.
Whoop-dee-doo.
These nerds of Football Focus really enjoying the home field advantage. Kansas City at 25.5%.
Come on, KC!
Patriots at 20%. And the least likely, they're giving the Rams only a 16% chance to hoist the Super Bowl trophy here in Atlanta.
Yeah, listen, I think, you know, that first of all, they got to travel to New Orleans and get it done. And then, you know, the question becomes, how early do you get to Atlanta to start preparing? Because, again, you know, that whole West Coast thing plays, right?
Right, right, right.
But you've got ample time to get adjusted. Mm-hmm. This is not a quick turnaround. If the Rams beat the Saints this weekend, God, please, and then they make it to the Super Bowl, you can get to Atlanta in plenty of time to get the time change thing worked out, Mike.
Right.
Get the workouts in. Get your game plan in. I don't buy that, man. I think the Rams, actually, I give them a better shot than that. What's the number, 16%?
Only 16%. No, again, these are the guys at Pro Football Focus, and there's you cannot, and I don't know how ESPN does this. Remember the number they threw up? If they don't get the interception, if Alshon Jeffrey holds onto the football, the Patriots would have had like a 28.6 chance. I mean, the Eagles would have had a 28.6 chance of winning that game against.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know where they're coming up with these numbers. It's the same odds, and I'm not going to bring up a sore spot. When we were leading the game 28-3.
No comment. Hey, we mentioned this earlier, and I do want to say congratulations to Julio and also our man Calvin Ridley. Ridley was named to the All-Rookie Team by the Professional Football Writers of America, and Julio, guys, was named to the All-Pro, the All-NFL team, should I say,
right,
along with DeAndre Hopkins and Michael Thomas. Now, D. Orlando Ledbetter, who's a part of the Professional Football Writers of America, put this out there. He put out there also that the Browns quarterback Baker Mayfield was named Rookie of the Year. Saquon Barkley named the Offensive Rookie of the Year. And the Colts linebacker, if you didn't watch the Colts this year, Darius Leonard was a baller, named the Defensive Rookie of the Year. So, but Ridley, man, had a huge impact on our squad. We talked about it. And, you know, I don't think there's any doubt or any discussion as to him being the best rookie this year on the team. Now, here's the thing. We had a lot of guys thrown into action.
Right.
Foye Oluokun made a bunch of starts for us on the defensive side, made a lot of plays for us. You could talk about Isaiah Oliver. You mentioned Ito Smith. We had a lot of rookies that found action this
now,
year.
Now, the one guy, and again, it's almost because size-wise, he's almost an identical, you know, sort of player to what Grady looks like size-wise, Grady Jarrett. Talking about Deidrin Sinnott, you know, obviously great kid. We got a chance to speak to him in the locker room a couple times this year at a USF. Can he upgrade his game, or do you still want to – you say, you know what, I look around the league and I said, I really need about a 320-pound guy, a bigger dude at defensive tackle next to Grady. And I got to sign Grady, of course.
No, you got to take care of Grady. But you also need to add to that. And you know, look around. Look at what the Rams have. Now, I know Rankins is hurt with the Saints. Look at what they did. Their interior defensive line. You know, I think it's something that we got to look at. We all talk about the offensive line, and I hope they get that fixed, Mike. But at the end of the day, we still got to stop the run, and we got to be better at that. We were not a great team at stopping the run. Dan Quinn talked about it. So, you know, he's taking over the play calls.
Mm-hmm.
It's great to have all the stunts and defenses at your disposal. If you don't have the players, it's not going to matter.
Right. And the thing about – and, Carl, if you brought it up earlier, if you missed it, Isaiah Oliver, where does he, you know, sit these rookies? Would you move on from Alford? Squidbilly explained how you could make the cap hit, you know, a little less painful and spread it out. But – it all starts with the pass rush.
Yeah.
You know, those guys, I mean, they've got the speed. I don't know what's up with Desmond Trufant. I think he's gone backwards at times. But if you can just get some real heat on the quarterback where these guys aren't out there for 3 seconds and 4 seconds having to cover some dudes, it would make things a lot easier.
Now, if you missed our conversation with Brian Billick, you'll hear it coming up next hour around 6:20. We asked him about the hiring of Dirk Koetter and Mike Mularkey, and you'll hear what he had to say. But Mike, when you get down to this, and you know, it's the Falcon Report, guys. We're talking about the Falcons, and I said yesterday, how close or far away are we from getting back to this point? And I'm talking about an NFC Championship game where we're playing for an opportunity to get to a Super Bowl. Will this be us next year if things get turned around? Quinn has fired 6 assistants since he's gotten here. Now you're at a point where you go, okay, this didn't work. You fixed things, and I get it. The change is always constant, right, when you're trying to improve, and I think that's what he's probably said to Arthur Blank. But now you go, all right, you've made these changes. This has to get better.
No, we've said it. We weren't trying to give you some radio hype where Dan Quinn has signed his own death warrant. No, I'm just – we said that a few weeks back. In all seriousness, though, that you have created a lack of excuses. It's going to – no, the buck always stops with the head coach. Mike Smith, by the way, speaking of head coaches, announcing he's out of football for good.
And what?
He's only 59,
Smitty. Wait a minute. Hold on. I got to talk to Mike Smith for a second.
Well, Carl, I don't think it's really worth talking about
here. Yeah,
I'm
going
to step away, play.
Okay.
Hi, Bo. How are you? Good to visit with you.
First of all,
how's
Coach.
How's that wedge I gave you?
What wedge?
No, Coach, you gave me the green jacket for being the worst golfer. You didn't give me a wedge.
Check that. That's the same kind of memory skills I use with my defense down at Tampa.
Well, you are that great at golf.
I always forget you shouldn't go Julio one-on-one.
Wait a minute, though, Coach. I got to talk to you. Time out. Mike Smith, you were the right guy at the right time for our Falcon organization.
I sure was.
Okay, but you sucked in Tampa. Let's not worry about that. But why are you getting out of it now? You still have something to give to this game.
I banked. I put a lot of money away. Two words, Carl. Well, actually, three words.
What?
Fuddruckers and Zaxby's. It's important to make sure you have life outside of football.
Okay, all right.
I'm actually going to be managing the Zaxby's up on 985. It's kind of passionate of mine. Fried chicken.
Here's the deal, though, guys.
Tenders.
Real talk, real fun. We're having fun with Mike Smith.
No, look, we love, by the way, we love Smith. He's a good dude.
Good dude. Good guy.
And he was always gracious with us. But hey, maybe we'll get, you know what, in the offseason this year, because he's out, maybe we'll get a chance to get Smitty on the show.
he's probably listening, going, take your money.
Hey, never. But no, Smitty's a good dude.
I'm not golfing against him.
I just think in Tampa Bay that message was not working. And
nope.
he also, let's be honest, he did some things that were not flying. And now, you know, when you throw Brent Grimes out there and you've got a defensive back who's feeling he's not compensated well enough to go one-on-one with the league's best wide receivers, kind of takes a little something out of your scheme, doesn't it?
Yeah. But listen, whatever Mike Smith's going to do, good luck to him now that he's moving on from football. It's been his life,
but
period.
But he's only 59. You know, Dan Quinn's a guy in his late 40s now. But, you know, to your point, Dan Quinn, at worst case scenario, if this doesn't work out and flame out, Dan Quinn will wind up somewhere as a defensive coordinator. But also, Carl, in addition to, you know, hopefully getting us back in the playoffs and winning a bunch of games, I mean, what is that number? How do you qualify what would be successful enough a season that Arthur says it's not good enough and he moves on? I mean, do you got to go to the playoffs? You got to win 10 or 11 games?
Listen, I think it's going to be hard to move on from Dan Quinn, who, again, is still under contract through 2021, I believe it is. If he wins 10 games, I mean, you know, and 10 games, you go, well, that's usually a team that's going to go to the playoffs. We would hope. We'll keep our fingers crossed. You never know how this thing plays out. But, yeah, Mike, I just think if that's the case. Now, guys, if things just fall apart next year for whatever reason and we get four wins, Mike, I don't think there's any hesitation that you're going to have an owner that's going to be wanting somebody's head. And you've already, you know, made these changes with Coach Quinn. So it's 2022. So, yeah, I would tell you right now, God, 8 wins, I think, is going to be enough to say there's improvement. Now, you say, wait a minute, what happened to this year? He did that with this team almost. Why was that? That's not enough. So then what is it? So you're telling me it's got to be 9 wins next year? It's a very interesting question.
Well, I mean,
Mike.
You know,
it really is.
You've loaded up. I mean, you've got 3 head coaches and Dan Quinn. Okay, Raheem Morris was head coach in Tampa. Cutter was a head coach in Tampa. Mike Mularkey was a head coach in Tennessee, and is a longtime assistant. So, I mean, you've added enough brain power to this situation. I know I'm still getting texts. We're still getting messages from guys that are upset about the Gary Kubiak thing. Could you have not convinced Kubiak to be the OC here? We're still not 100% sure just what this offensive line and what the style of offense is going to be. You know, Dan Quinn did say, and it kind of inferred that we're going to stick with the zone blocking scheme and how they're doing it, but maybe there'll be some tweaks to it from Mike Mularkey. And he's tight ends coach, but I still consider him a real offensive line coach.
No, I do too. I think he'll have influence there. Text us, guys, 404-741-0929 is our text number. It's also our telephone number. Mm-hmm. And we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 coming up here in just a minute.
And by the way, in all seriousness, as Smitty, it's no joke, by the way. Mike Smith did say he was going to step away. He's the right guy, right time. It was not the most compelling hire because you're like, okay, he was a linebackers coach. He was a defensive coordinator with the Ravens, went to Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. And then he's a guy that gave you your first 2 back-to-back winning seasons in franchise history. Mularkey was the OC. They didn't go to the playoffs in 2009. But the first year with Matt, remember Michael Turner, Mike Smith's the guy. Now, by the time we get to 2012, I think fans felt a little too conservative with the approach. And then, of course, the offensive line disintegrated. But I still think, you know what?
Well, you had home field advantage throughout.
Twice. You had it in 2010 and 2012.
But you blew it in 12. I mean, if that was the team that you felt like should have gotten it done, which I did, okay, I thought the 2012 team was better than the 2010 team. 2010 team, I get it, but you had home field advantage throughout, and you had a 17-point lead against the 49ers at home.
Right.
To me, I mean, prior, for those who are new to the show and new to Atlanta, prior to that Super Bowl thing that happened, that was a collapse. That was the one we were talking about.
It's one that nobody really mentions. I joked around. We busted chops with Harry Douglas when he was in studio end of 2018. And I said, man, you don't trip over that 20, might be a whole other story. I mean, I'd give us a fighting chance against that Ravens team. That was one hell of a Super Bowl back and forth with those teams. But that team was loaded. Plus, we had a real pass rush. We had a good defense that year. That was the end of Abraham really being mm-hmm. effective at getting after the passer.
Well, remember Mike Smith's? Probably his coaching decision he would go back and change is he plays the starters
in week 17.
And John Abraham rolls his ankle.
Yeah.
And Abe wasn't the same. We actually had a conversation with Abe about, you know, playing that game, and he felt like that cost him a Super Bowl.
No, listen, I thought that was the year. The wide receiving core, Roddy, I mean, Julio.
I mean, Julio, a young Julio Jones, 10 touchdowns that year.
You still had Tony Gonzalez.
Michael Turner was still an effective runner. Didn't hit 1,000, but he was still a guy in the red zone you could use. So, yeah, that's Smitty's legacy. So I think when you, like, if you see Mike Smith, I buy him a beer. He's a good dude, and he did some good things. We just ultimately didn't bring home the bacon.
All right, man, let's give you a chance to win some money right now.
It's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
draft. We're all looking forward to it, right? Draft. D-R-A-F-T. Or maybe you want it on draft. Hey, Man Al is on draft, by the way, in many locations. Text it to 72881. That's 72881. Ask for it. Hey, Man Al. Sorry, that's a crossover promo. Draft is the word, guys.
Please, for the love of God, can we draft some offensive linemen that can start? Hey, send that to 72881. What's up next, Carl Dukes?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Mike. I got to tell you, what is the true evaluation of a guy that has declared for the draft, has a lot of people talking? We'll get into this coming up on our
Craig will sell some of the CDs out of the back of the Caprice.
I mean, we'll do it old school style. You know what I'm saying?
Right on.
We'll have the T-shirts, bootleg style, the whole nine.
I ain't going to be on the radio station. Me and Brian Man going to sell T-shirts tonight outside Whitney Houston concert. We about to get paid.
It is Dukes and Bell. Hey, we got some fun things coming up in about 20 minutes, including some officials stepping away. The NFL's losing a bunch of veteran officials.
One who was a Falcon killer. So some good news in that sense. We'll explain. And then the flap over the fast food at the White House. And again, this is not a political conversation, just about 19-year-old.
You hate Trump!
19-year-old kids eating fast food. But, man.
I heard you!
I just made a comment saying if I was a 19-year-old, I would really enjoy all that fast food because I was a 19-year-old who really enjoyed fast food. And then immediately people just became the typical Twitter storm and went bananas. Tonight.
Yeah, it happens. You know, I just think that, and we'll talk about this coming up in 20 minutes, but I just think that, well, if you don't like what I say, unfollow me. Hey, let's get to the strong arm story of the day.
Okay.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foy and Associates Personal Injury Law.
Let's talk about what a lot of people are wondering about. All right, let me ask you this first and foremost. Is Kyler Murray, number one, a first-round draft pick?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say first round. Yes.
First round
draft pick. Yes.
Okay.
Maybe now, like 15 to 25. How about that?
Okay. So here's what I want you to know about Kyler Murray, okay, because he declares.
18 to 28.
All right. So we all talk about the NFL draft and what we expect teams to do. Here's the deal with Kyler Murray. So he was taken ninth overall in the 2018 MLB draft, right? He was guaranteed a minor league deal, agreed to a minor league deal of $4.66 million with the A's. Then he declares for the draft on Monday, okay? He's 5'9", Mike.
No. He's 5'11 on ESPN. Or check that, on the Big 12 network, he's 5'12".
Yeah. Okay.
He's 5'10 on ESPN.com.
Wait, did you say 5'12?
No, 5'12. That'd be 6 feet. That's, for folks at Noonan, he's 5'11.
I was going to say, you said 5'12. I'm like, I've never heard of that.
5'10. That boy, he's 5'12. But yeah, man, the dude, if the size thing matters, hey now, then you look at a guy like Drew Brees,
it
who is not
matters.
6 feet. Drew Brees is not 6 feet tall. We've talked to him.
He's 6 feet.
Barely. You know, Mike Vick was not even 6 feet. He was listed at 6 feet. He was 5'11. You know, I mean, barely. So, I mean, can you move around in the pocket, find the lanes? Drew Brees has shown this that he's a guy that's the all-time greats, if not the greatest.
5'9"? All right, Russell Wilson is 5'11". Baker Mayfield is 6 feet, all right? This is how they, at least what the books tell us.
Pat Hayden was 5'9".
Okay.
I mean, he was listed at 5'11", but we met him at the Super Bowl. He's short, too.
All right, so this is what I'm getting to when I talk about, you know, Kyler Murray. And if you're going to draft him, I get it. He put up monster numbers at Oklahoma. But at 5'9", 190, here are the guys that are bigger than him. But unfortunately, Mike, and I say this, we talked about some of these guys are not as accomplished, even in the 1 year where he just turned it on. Dwayne Haskins at Ohio State, 6'3", 228. Daniel Jones, who we have not talked a lot about, at Duke is 6'4", 222. These are all guys that are going to be quarterbacks coming out. Drew Locke, 6'3", 225. Will Greer at West Virginia, 6'2", 225. So I'm just saying.
So who would you rather have? Would you rather have Will Greer, who actually had a nice, you know, year for himself at West Virginia? Or do you look at a guy, for instance, Haskins, we talked about this earlier, remember, JT Barrett was the year before. He just did mop-up duty. Haskins only has one full season under his belt. But, boy, I mean, and you could argue that he played against better defenses in the Big Ten.
All right, I guess what I'm getting down to, do you draft a guy at the premier position with the size? I mean, we say it doesn't matter if a guy can play, but I got to be honest. Now, Will Greer to me is a second-round pick, okay? I'm not taking Will Greer in the first round. But for Kyler Murray, and I brought this up earlier, and we'd love to hear from you guys. You can text us 404-741-0929. Mike, I think it's hard to really look at his tape and go, okay, because here's what happened with Kyler Murray. He had an elite offensive line in Oklahoma. Some people say he had one of the best offensive lines in college football, which was true. But he played in a conference that had below-average defenses. And so you look at it, and it's a challenge to just look at the tape and go, I trust that. Do you trust that against NFL-caliber defenses?
Well, again, if he's got the elusiveness, the ability to move around in the pocket, I mean, again, you've got to be able to take the hit. I mean, some personnel people in the NFL are going to say, this guy's going to get killed because of the things you're just talking about. You know, he's only – can he get to 175 pounds at 5'9"?
Well, they have him listed at 190. So
Fran Tarkenton was about 6'. I mean, we talked about some of the guys that are undersized at the QB position. I just think somebody's going to fall in love with his game. Here's the one thing, though, for sure. Whatever he is, we're going to find out at the combine when he's bare feet and they're measuring how tall the dude is.
Right.
But what if he dazzles everybody with the throws, not to mention what he's going to do in his pro day? You know, some people are going to get a chance to break it down in the interview room if you really like the guy. And now people look at Patrick Mahomes, who, again, who is 6'3", different type of quarterback. Or you look at Baker Mayfield and say, this is the kind of dynamic passer I want. Guy that just makes plays, which is what he does.
Yeah.
Drew Locke has never won a big game in his life. This guy's only got one season as opposed to Drew Locke's complete body of work. He stayed for 4 years at Mizzou.
Well, you know, other guys that are out there that you're going to hear about, Ryan Finley at NC State, you saw him play this year, 6'3", 212. Jared Stidham, 6'2", 219. Here's the thing for me with Murray, and I throw all that out there to say, if I was a general manager, you know why I draft him? And the answer is yes. I think the kid has an outstanding arm. He made throws this year. You went, whoa. Throwing guys open in the NFL, we talk about it. Some guys still can't do it. He does that. He has the instincts, Mike, that we talk about at a quarterback's position. Can he run? Yes. This is why the kid's a center fielder in baseball. He runs 4.4.
Right.
He's a 4.4 guy. Some people say he's been clocked at 4.3. So, yes, he's got the speed to be elusive. But I just think the instincts at quarterback. It's an interesting conversation because when he made the decision Monday, I think it changed the draft. I think teams that were thinking, all right, Haskins may be the first quarterback taken. Mm-hmm. But I actually think this kid could actually go before Haskins.
Well, you know who I might pick up if I was looking for a quarterback? Let me just roll this at you because you're saying what team out there of the 32 are going to
take? What are they going to roll the dice?
How about the Tennessee Titans? Mariota can't stay healthy.
Okay.
He's got numbness in the end of his arm. He can't throw. He can't give you 16 games when he's really even dialed in. So as an insurance policy or a guy you can bring along, I'm just throwing some names out there. The way Lamar Jackson was picked by Ozzie Newsome in Baltimore worked out pretty well for the Ravens. They got to the playoffs.
Yes.
I mean, and again, Lamar Jackson's also 6'3". It's really going to come down to people. There's going to be a school of thought where that is a thing and a school that's going to say it's not that big a deal.
Yeah, and that's what's crazy about this. If you just go look at his plays and the playmaking ability, you go, I'm drafting this guy. And then you throw in the size and the durability thing and him taking a hit from a safety that's 6'4 or 6'2", 225 in the NFL running 4'4". That's a different monster.
Raiders got two picks there late in the first round. He's a game player. I like this guy. He makes things happen.
Guys,
game changer. He's a gunslinger. I don't know. It just takes one dude. Gruden could be the guy dumb enough to do it.
Well, he could be. But he's got to get rid of Carr, first of all.
Does Mike Mayock like his hips turn?
Well, Mike Mayock, by the way, came out and said it will be Gruden's final decision on all of this stuff, which we knew it would be. Mayock's going to be the guy to break down all the film and look at all these guys and tell him his opinion. But here's the point I'm getting to when we talk about this quarterback and this quarterback class, which is not considered to be a great quarterback class, which is why Kyler Murray decides to declare. In 2021, Trevor Lawrence is going to be the first overall pick. Okay?
Right.
Period.
But you got to wait 2 more years, pal.
Yes, but here's the deal. This is the difference. Trevor Lawrence, right now, with his size, and he hadn't even grown into his body. He still looks like a linky.
He looks like Thor right now, as it is.
High school kid to me. But he hasn't grown into his body. But Mike, his talent defines his age. You saw him tear up an Alabama defense by being able to read the defenses at where he's at right now.
All right, so let me ask you. You would not take Kyler Murray.
That's what I'm getting to. The Trevor Lawrence thing is a no-brainer, and that's 2 years away.
But I mean,
this Kyler Murray thing's like, eh.
I mean, Haskins put up incredible numbers only 1 year. Kyler Murray, same thing, won the Heisman 1 year. You know, I mean, it's a tough.
Man, I'm going to tell you like we in the barbershop. Hell no, I ain't taking him. He's too small.
Okay.
He's too small.
And I just think all it takes is one team. I don't know if he's going to be a top 25. I mean, who knows? Maybe he just sneaks in the first round. But if he doesn't get in the first round, then the gamble versus baseball. This, what happens is you just go, I just kidding. I only kidding. And he goes back to the A's.
5'9"? That means he's 5'7".
All right, you know what? You get a fullback and you hop him on his shoulders. And you do like a chicken fight. And he sees over the line. Makes
and
all the throws.
And by the way, this is not height discrimination. I'm going.
I think it quite clearly is.
I am not. I know.
And
this
you're
is,
only 3 inches taller than me.
This is, I know this is a sore subject with you, sir.
Oh, no. I've never had a problem with my height. I didn't know I was short until I got to Atlanta. In New York, there's a bunch of short Italian-Irish guys running around. You come to the South, everybody's taller.
I have no problem with it. But I can't do it. Not where they're talking about drafting, not with the sixth overall pick or the third overall. I can't do that, Mike. 404-741-0929. Call me crazy. I know you guys are like, this dude plays, man. He makes plays.
But you
can't do it.
But you look at how many bad quarterbacks are out there, you know what I mean,
yeah.
In the league. I know. You're saying the ultimate carrot on a stick is what you got with Trevor Lawrence. Drew Lock right now, I don't think – I mean, right now he's considered one of the top quarterbacks in this draft. And I know he's got a big arm. And, look, I you know, he's – stuck around Mizzou, and he's put up big numbers. But anybody who's seen him play each year, you're like, okay, another, you know, Blaine Gabbert, right?
This is how they describe Drew Lock, and this is even before the combine. Polarizing prospect. That's because you look at his arm and you go, great arm. Physical traits. But then you start going, what did he win?
Right.
And I think winning matters in college. I think you got to – this is why we were so high on Deshaun Watson and the whole Mitch Trubisky thing. Trubisky's playing well, but I still would have taken Deshaun Watson higher because of what he did in the biggest moments.
Now, here's the thing, guys. We'll have plenty of time, obviously, to break down the draft. Let's just hope, and we said this last week, we're doing the Falcon Report. Let's hope that there's a lot of teams that even though these are reaches at quarterback, they're all reaches. Let's be real.
They are.
That these reaches are made because we kind of obviously gobble up big-time O-line or defensive line, and let's hope there's even more laying around for us.
All right, guys, coming up, we got some fun stories to get to. Two more veteran refs are retiring. Are we seeing a change in the National Football League?
Pretty busy.
Who busy?
Busy.
What? I'm very busy right now.
Hey, man.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conti.
Have I got good news for you?
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
Conti's headed down to the arena. Mike and I are actually going to the game tonight to check out the Hawks in Oklahoma City. Resurgence Orthopedics brings you, in case you missed it, from neck to toes, muscles and bones, get moving again. Resurgence Orthopedics. We got some stories we got to get to, man. And we start with NFL officials.
Yeah, man. A guy that it's funny. I think who's the worst NFL official? The old joke is, well, which one are you watching? First, we'll start with Pete Morelli. Pete Morelli is a guy that just drove me crazy. He's the guy that killed us Saints game last year, if you guys remember. Not the one where we blew it in the Superdome. Go back to 17. He's had, you'd think as a Falcon fan, Pete Morelli's had it in for us.
Oh, I think Pete Morelli's had it in for us.
Well, funny, you should mention that. Bleacher Report goes in there. They went and they looked at all the different websites for fan sites around the NFL. No less than 13 fan sites have got stories saying Pete Morelli won't be around to screw us over anymore, including the Vikings, Bengals, Jets, Giants, and the Eagles, including a banner on Bleeding Green Nation that says, the Eagles will never have to worry about Pete Morelli screwing us over again. So I guess if you're hated by almost half the league, I guess you're doing something right. Or you're just that incompetent that everybody hates you.
Yeah.
Pete Morelli, to me, is one of the worst NFL officials that ever dressed out.
No doubt.
Gene Steratore, who I thought was always pretty tight and did it right, is now up in the booth. He's doing TV. But unfortunately, he's one of those few guys who, like, understood, Carl, let's move the game along. You know, you never see any big confab. You never see a sewing circle with Steratore. You remember the time they'd mic him up? He's like, all right, I'll go. What do we got?
Let's go.
We're holding 65. Let's go.
Boom, boom.
He understood there's a rhythm to the game, which I think fans appreciate.
Yeah, listen, you know, Pete, good luck. But I'm glad he's gone. And there are just some officials, whether you believe it or not. And, Mike, I've always said this about officials. You know, they're humans. They hold grudges, you know. And when you have teams – for whatever reason, maybe there's a guy that got into it with Pete Morelli. Who knows? And for whatever reason, he goes, when I get a chance to screw this team, I'm going to do it.
I don't even think it's even that. I just think it was just sheer incompetence with Pete Morelli. But
No. Yeah. That plays. But yeah. I also think the human element plays. Mm. I mean, we all think that these guys, because they're wearing stripes, that they're going to not be emotionally involved in these calls. I don't believe that. I think you're trying to get the calls right. But then you get into it with the coach, or a coach says something.
You got to mean on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, the ref that was considered one of the better ones in the NFL, Walt Coleman, is going to step away.
No, I like Walt Coleman.
He was the oldest tenured official in the league. He started back in 1989. But Walt Coleman, despite the reputation as being one of the better refs, is also the man that gave us one of the most infamous calls in playoff history.
Oh, he blew one.
The Tuck Rule with Tom Brady.
He blew one.
Yeah, he's the one where Charles Woodson, if you guys were younger guys, you don't remember, you can Google it. But Brady, that's where the ball's coming forward with the arm. It not necessarily looked like he was tucking to bring it back down. After a long review in the snow, he decides that it was a not a fumble but a forward pass. The league later voted this one down. It was 11 years we had to deal with that stinker. 29-1, it was abolished in 2013 by the NFL.
Well, a lot of folks, obviously me included, thinks that if the Patriots don't win that game on that call, there is no dynasty. Now, maybe they win a couple of Super Bowls, but that started a run, Mike.
The storyline changes. The arc changes. You're right.
It completely does.
And by the way, it was Tony Correnti was the official. The guys were asking us earlier when we told you about Morelli. It was Tony Correnti on the Richard Sherman no pass interference call against Julio in the game we should have won in Seattle. Was it 3 years ago?
Matt from the pocket. Going to put Jones up to bat. Coming back for it. Cannot hang on. Did he make the catch?
Are you kidding me?
No, it's ruled incomplete.
He was pulled to the ground.
Yes,
he
was.
No call.
Yes, he was.
Dan Quinn is hot.
I was too. Took me back to a bad memory. By the way, that was the game. All the memes were out there, and everybody was sending the memes out where you saw him holding Julio's arm.
Right. All right. The big story today, which is certainly getting a lot of water cooler talk going, and obviously are on Twitter and social media, people going bananas. The government shutdown facilitated the White House serving fast food and plenty of it to the national champion Clemson Tigers. Players were thrilled, to quote the Washington Post and ESPN.com. Nobody complained about it, but obviously social media felt that it was a disgrace and yada, yada. I said earlier on Twitter, as a 19-year-old, you give me unlimited fast food, I'd be all over it.
Yeah, listen, there were times in college, I mentioned this earlier, weeks, maybe a couple of weeks straight where you ate nothing but fast food. It's just kind of what you do in college. And listen, I thought the Clemson players got a kick out of it. But this is bigger than that, right? This is your opportunity to go to the White House for a once-in-a-lifetime chance to experience something that most Americans don't ever get a chance to experience.
Would you want a quiche or would you want a cucumber sandwich or would you rather have a Big Mac?
Now, listen, I don't care about the food. The whole thing is you didn't get the full gamut of things because of the shutdown.
I'm with you. Now, normally, the guys get to tour the city and do some stuff at the Smithsonian and other events around the city of D.C., but obviously with the government shutdown, it is what it is. Now, we always try to stay in our lane, but immediately, when we just talk about the quality of food, and nobody wants to eat cold, fast food. That's why we heard Jim Rome earlier. You race home when you get in the drive-thru because you want to be able to get home and eat your fast food fast and hot.
Yes.
There's nothing worse than room-temperature French fries.
But I will say this. I did think it was cool. You know, you talk about the alternative with the fast food. What a great idea. I mean, seriously. You know, you got these kids coming. You know you're about to have the national champion show up. And whether Trump paid for it or not, the point is, I thought it was brilliant on their behalf to say, you know what, let's go put all this out there. They got a lot of run. There were some funny memes out there. Guys, it's funny. Your team wins the national championship. You go to the White House, you think it's going to be all this pomp and circumstance, and it's damn fast food on the table. It's funny. So it's not a political statement. It's simply how things had to happen during this particular time, and I'm cool with it. I have no issues, Mike, but to your point about your tweet, some people lost their mind.
Trevor Lawrence says it was awesome. We had McDonald's and everything. It was good. So there you go. From the guys that it was set up for.
It's fine.
But I mean, as we said, look, the government shutdown, and we talked about, for guys who missed the show yesterday at the end of the show, we got a bunch of reports from folks that were even late in the afternoon were getting jammed up for over an hour at Hartsfield-Jackson because the TSA thing. You get guys that are working without pay. And then in a way to kind of show that they're not happy, about 7 to 10% of these guys decided not to show up for work around the country.
Yeah.
Which doesn't exactly we know you're in a tough spot, guys, but that doesn't exactly earn the goodwill of the average air traveler, does it?
No, but here's the other side of it. And I just got to tell you, some of these guys that I've spoken with, not getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I hear what you're saying, but that's the other side of it. So, unfortunately, and I hope nothing happens, Bo told me there was a story where some guy got on a plane with a gun. And
Here in Atlanta, made all the way to Japan, Joe.
Flew across the world. That can't happen. I mean, we can't have nonsense going on. But, yeah, man, let's get this resolved. Hopefully we do. But in the meantime, Mike, I just got a feeling a lot of people are calling in sick, which is causing these two-hour delays at TSA.
Again, but as I said yesterday, I'm going to run out of empathy for you if I've got to wait an hour and 45 minutes to get on my plane.
What?
Because let's be honest. Even when they're getting fully paid, they don't do a really good job.
Oh, Mike, I resent that.
Oh, stop.
These are dedicated,
yes,
government employees.
Yes, the most hated people, other than the IRS. These are the guys, let's be honest.
They're dedicated.
Yes, whenever you and I are flying, Carl, you always go, don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Because, you know, it's always good to have four or five management TSA standing around while there's lanes that are closed. That's always a great way to, again, endear yourself to the air traveler.
Yeah, well, either way, listen, your problem is you just don't like the guy screaming, take your shoes off! Take your belt off! If actually, you have a computer in your bag, please take the computer. And he goes on and on and
actually,
on.
Actually, you know what,
on.
Though? I used to talk about that, but the last time I flew, you know what the guy in front of me had on? He left his belt on. Had a phone in his pocket. So maybe you do need somebody screaming at you at the top of your lungs. For somebody who was in the, you know, the everyday.
Maybe he had the global pre-check.
I don't know.
Which is the best.
Hey, by the way, we're just talking about the referees real quick before we wrap it up here. And Mike Conte's normally, in case you missed it, just got a text from a buddy, Reggie Roberts, used to work with the Falcons in the NFL.
Yeah.
Rams Saints, the NFC Championship referee has been named. And it is Bill Vinovich. And the problem is, apparently the Rams have had some issues with him. CBSSports.com says that McVay and some of the officials have felt that he has not exactly called their games.
Okay, they better change officials quickly. I got money on them. I mean, I like the Rams.
I'm just telling
you. I like
you,
the Rams.
Bill Vinovich will be the man in charge down there at the Superdome.
I have Saint fans here for over a week and a half.
Right.
Going, who that? We that?
Right.
Who that? Can't have it.
And the thing also, guys, and by the way, as we said, I mean, most Saints fans, I mean, first off, Carl, you get on the mega bus, and that takes you about, what, 18 hours to get up here? They make a lot of stops, right? Or is that a direct run? I'm not sure. But the folks that are coming up here, we really like some folks to win the conference championship that have disposable income that will, again, obviously spend money in the restaurants here around town.
Let's hope so. I mean, let's hope so.
But are there enough fans in L.A. to actually come?
No.
So, I mean...
Kansas City, now if the Kansas City Chiefs come, they'll come in like
you talking about LA?
Yeah, I mean, they don't really care about the team out there. Other Cowboy fans filled up their stadium last week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, listen, Mike's right. There'll be a more of a presence with Kansas City. You would see people wearing the colors and being out. Obviously, if Kansas City moves on or Saints. But Rams fans would come. I think people would come. LA folks would come.
I got money, so Hollywood. But, yeah. I mean, but they just don't have that heritage. I mean, there was obviously football in L.A., but, I mean, choose. I mean, you saw, if you look at the video, I mean, you have a choice. You choose between San Diego, or the L.A. Chargers and the Rams. The Rams are certainly the more sexy one of the two.
They are.
But, you know, when you get to that new stadium, that's gonna, you know what that's going to be? Well, it'll probably be just like ours.
We're going
wandering around, celebrities, hobnobbing, who's going to be in the seats?
Maybe they'll get enough bandwagon fans. That's a bandwagon city. Maybe they can get some.
I mean, speaking of bandwagon, I ordered the Rams hat on lids, so I'm ready to roll.
Well, we said this. The Rams, and it's in case you missed it, with Dukes and Bell, Resurgence Orthopedics brings you in case you missed it. But we said they had star power. We talked about this. And in being in L.A., you got a young, bright coach, a quarterback who played in California.
Right.
Gurley. And we know Todd's got a personality. I mean, you have all these things, Mike, that make up the Rams and make them an attractive team on top of winning. I'm curious to see what happens. And God, I hope they win.
And by the way, if you hadn't seen it yet, the banners are starting to go up, starting to feel more and more like Super Bowl here in Atlanta. The big poster, or you say that, you know, the kind of wrap thing that they put up on the windows, you can see out of, that's already going up on the Western, so you see the Lombardi Trophy. We're looking out the window. They got this giant stage they're building for the Foo Fighters and all the other bands that are going to be performing outside Atlantic Station during the Super Bowl weekend. And you're seeing the big banners and the flags are up on the street now in Peachtree as well.
You know, Mike, I'm thinking about this. A lot of St. Louis Rams fans might... No, I doubt that. Hey, coming up...
St. Louis Rams
fans. Top 3 and 6.
Well, by the way, when you were off, you know, we gave away the Randy Mack autographed football from the 1-15 St. Louis Rams.
He was on that team?
Yes, he was.
Oh, interesting. We've got Brian Billick, 620. Stay right there.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.